Turn this thing on. All right. Now I'm just showing my thing on here. All right. So let's deal with communication. Four rules of communication. Anywhere you go for biblical counseling training, they use these four rules. Man, I've heard this taught so many times. But as an introduction, let's see first that believers can learn to solve problems biblically and build good relationships. You agree with that? Yeah, no doubt. It doesn't matter where you're raised, how you're raised, how your mama fought, none of that stuff. You can learn to solve problems biblically and build good relationships. Number two, the Bible tells us some important facts about our communication. And then number three, the book of Ephesians provides us some great help in communication. Listen, you need to know Ephesians, right? That's a great starting place for counseling, is know the book of Ephesians. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5. And just remember, you know, Ephesians, the way it's broken up, this is the practical section of the book of Ephesians. First three chapters are doctrinal, who you are in Christ. The last three chapters is what you are to do because of who you are in Christ. And so Ephesians chapter 4, I like in verse 15, look where it starts. It says, speaking the truth in love. Okay, underline that in your Bibles. That's just good to keep that in mind all the time. Speak the truth, but not just speak the truth, but speak it in love. All right, now verse 25. And what the way that we typically will introduce this is we talk about these put-offs and put-ons. So put off this behavior and put on that behavior. What can happen, though, oftentimes, is you tell somebody to put off and put on, and it becomes a checklist of things to do. It becomes a legalistic way to look at it. And so as we work through this, I really want to start before 25. He says in 22, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Okay, that's the put off. Now, what we usually do is we go straight to 24 and say, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So we say, put off is verse 22, put on verse 24. But look at verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So to truly be able to put off and put on, you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, you need a new mind to do this. Otherwise, it is just a checklist of frustrating things you have to do. And so you want it to come from a heart that is hearing what God have you do. Look at, so verse 25. And we'll see the put-offs and put-ons really, really clearly. And we'll just work through each one, one at a time. He says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Okay, so what do we put off there? Falsehood. What's falsehood? Lying. Good. So put off lying. What do we put on? Okay, good. Verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. What do we put off? Look at it again. Put off sin. What do we put on? Nobody wants to say it. What do we put on? Look at 26. Be angry. We put on anger. Okay, now we're going to discuss this as we work through because nobody wants to agree with that. 27, do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. What do we put off? What do we put on? Good. No, what do we put on? Somebody said, I heard, working. Why do they work? So that they're givers and not takers. Right? When's a thief no longer a thief? Okay? When he gives. Right? He's no longer a thief when he actually starts to give. Okay? Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So what do we put off? Unwholesome words. What do we put on? Yeah, encouraging words, edifying words. Giving grace, right? Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. So those are all of our put-offs. And look at verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. That's our put-ons. Okay, so I'm sorry, go ahead. Yes. It's part of the renewing your mind. Absolutely, yeah. Good. So let's just work through what this looks like. Four rules of good communication. Ephesians 4, again, you need to know this like the back of your hand. Number one, be honest. Okay, be honest. And most of these we've already worked through, so we're not going to belabor them at all. So we put off lying, like put off falsehood, and B, we put on speaking the truth. Okay. So I would ask a question, why do we need to communicate? And the answer is because you are commanded to. Okay, you are commanded to. Well, how do you need to communicate? And if I'm going too fast, just tell me. How do you need to communicate? Speak truth, and how? Lovingly. Like, lovingly, yep. Lovingly. Speak truth lovingly. So I wanted to touch just for a second about gossip. Gossip is talking to or about someone who is not part of the problem. Gossip is an awful thing. Okay, we're going to talk about it a little bit tomorrow in the sermon. How it destroys. So it's speak the truth in love. Right? Something can be true, but not like necessary because it's not part of the problem, right? Not part of the solution. The person you're talking to, yeah.
You have to talk about somebody in a sense when you're trying to, if you're trying to gain help.
Yeah.
From that, but at what point is it when the heart's no longer towards the problem, or is it now they're just, or towards the solution?
Yeah.
Now they're just.
Yeah. Now they're just slandering.
Right.
Right. Yeah. How would you guys deal with that, Janky? You're smiling.
You gave a good answer to that. Okay. So the first few sessions when you're gathering data, you might need to let them speak. But at some point, you have to say, your wife isn't here, so we're not going to talk about her, right? Talk about you.
Yeah. Yeah, when it starts to, the blame shifting, you start to see the blame shifting going on. And you realize, okay, we're no longer focused here. We've gotten over here, way over here. And you can kind of go, whoa, how did we get there? Hold on one second. Let's go back here. And I also think that what you'll learn the more you counsel is that as you, the better you plan, you'll be the one guiding the instruction, the counseling session, rather than them dictating where it's going to go. So it's important. Yeah, Amy.
Counseling somebody else, but then you realize you don't know exactly which way to go, so you need to take it to somebody who's got more experience.
Yeah.
So they're not part of the problem, but they might be part of the solution.
Yeah, and we have that part of our PDI as well, that we can, or the consent to council, sorry, part of the consent to council is that you know, we may actually add other people involved in this if we don't know, right? Proverbs says there's safety in abundance of counselors. There's victory in abundance of counselors. We've actually, the move that ACBC is doing right now that I've never seen before, I think is brilliant, is they're doing a lot of team counseling. And so they'll have 2-3 people in there counseling one person, which I'm curious how that works, you know. But I am seeing that shift now going in that direction. Some of you guys are probably going, oh, that would be great. I have a couple other people with me. All right, let's keep going. So number one is what? Okay, be honest. Number two, keep current. Keep current. You're ahead of me. Keep current. You've heard the saying, the farmer, the old farmer would say, as I does them, I fess them. Right? As I sin, I confess sin. Don't let these things store up. In other words, we want to solve today's problems today. Okay, solve today's problems today. That's the idea of not letting the sun go down on your anger. Why is this important? Well, each day is enough trouble of its own, Jesus said. Okay, listen, tomorrow, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Solve today's problems today so that we don't bring them into tomorrow. And what ends up happening when this happens is unresolved anger often leads to bitterness. Bitterness is the... That's right. Bitterness is that campfire, right? It's the smoldering coals that as soon as you kick it or as soon as you fan it or something, the flames just rise up. And so unresolved anger, if it just leads to bitterness. And then clamming up, number three, gives the devil a foothold. So some people think, okay, well, I just won't say anything then. No, that's not good either, you know, because then you get all kinds of other issues there. And so when people quit talking, the devil has won. And so unresolved anger, is this on here? Nope, guess not. So unresolved anger leads to resentment, which leads to bitterness, which leads to hatred, which leads to murder. I don't think you guys have that. It's not on the slides here, sorry. Is it on there? Okay. So unresolved anger leads to resentment, which leads to bitterness, which leads to hatred, which leads to murder. So when people quit talking, the devil has won. Yeah, the next section is the 6 questions to ask yourself before bringing up a difficult or sticky situation. Like, we'll work through some of that in there. You know, absence does not make the heart grow fonder. Absence makes the heart grow bitter. Okay, so we have to be careful not to just hide things, shove things under the rug. A lot of you guys were raised in homes if that's what you did. Nobody ever dealt with problems. But there are some times where you have to ask yourself some questions, because life just brings difficult times, sticky problems that you have to do. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is, do I have the facts right? Do I have the facts right? In other words, am I just, and we've all done it, right? You accuse somebody and then you realize, oh, I was completely in the wrong. I completely messed that up. So make sure you have your facts right first. Number two, should love hide it? Should love hide it? In other words, is this a sin issue or just a preference issue? Is it hindering growth? Love hides a multitude of sins. And remember, there's no room in the Trinity. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Number three, is my timing right? Is my timing right? You know, on the way to church, that's not good timing, right? as they're walking out the door getting ready for work, it's not good timing. Make sure your timing is right. Now, some people will say, I've got a guy that he don't want to bring stuff up with his wife when times are good because it'll make times bad. Right? And then when times are bad, he brings these things up, but it's a weapon. Okay, so make sure your timing is right in that. Number four, is my attitude right? Number five, are my words loving? So all of this is part of kind of your mindset before you bring up these, all these things that are such a big deal, that may be a big deal. I'm not saying they're not. Okay, but they're all so important. Number six, have I prayed for God's help? Have I prayed for God's help? So do we need to bring up the past? Yeah, sometimes we do. Because it's just, it's not being dealt with and then it comes back up. Right? So how do you bring that up? Well, you do it gently. You do it kindly. You first look at your own self to see if there's a speck that needs, or log that needs to be taken out before you look at the speck. You communicate in such a way that is gentle. It's compassionate. It's non-accusatory. The book Peacemaking for Families, fantastic chapter on confrontation that would be helpful to look at. The model, what's the model for put off and put on change? It's really found in verse 28, right? Think about this. This is a neat statement. Jesus was never angry when he was personally attacked. So the command is be angry. But he was never angry when he was personally attacked. He was angry when the rights of others were violated and when his father's house was being defiled. Which means it had something to do with others, not him. So why do you think that Paul would give us a put on of anger and then later give us a put off of anger? Right? So one side he says put on anger, and then he says put off anger. There's a righteous anger and an unrighteous anger. And let me just say, 99% of the time, ours is unrighteous anger. But we think it's righteous. Right? Never angry when he was personally attacked. When are we angry? When we're personally attacked. Right? When our rights are violated, when our comfort is infringed upon. And so anger then becomes this God-given emotion intended to help us solve problems quickly and biblically. Anger allows us to say, okay, that's it. Let's deal with this. Okay. So the first two rules is be honest, keep current. Number three, attack the problem, not the person. The problem, not the person. We're going to diagram this in a minute. But put off words that tear down and attack the person. Put off words that tear down and attack the person. One of my sayings I love is always avoid and never use words like always and never. You never take out the trash. Never. Last month I did. You always, it becomes this argument, right? Put off hurtful words like lazy and stupid. I think I told you about the young man that I was counseling him and his mom. He was really angry kid and actually physically abusive to his mom. And I'm counseling him and I realized that, man, he just didn't want to be called lazy. His mom would call him lazy. And it just drove him nuts. And the reality is he wasn't lazy. He was disobedient. He didn't want to do what they wanted him to do, but he wasn't lazy. Like he worked at home and, you know, and so I was like, you know, don't call him lazy. Find a different way to communicate other than that. And ended up doing really well until counseling stopped, and then I had a police officer call me and say, he said, this isn't the type of kid we normally bring into juvenile detention. Like, you know, the parents said to call you. I was down here in Florida. He was up in South Carolina. I said, hey, ask his mom if she called him lazy. And I hear in the background, well, he is lazy. Just a trigger word, you know, for him. I'm not saying he was in the right, right? But it was a trigger for him. So put off words like that. Put on words that build up and attack problems. Separate the person from the problem. This is the problem. So listen, we're having a hard time financially. We're not making it financially. When you start saying, you spend too much money at here, now you're attacking the person, right? You spend too much money at Walmart. Well, that's because you like to eat. Right? What's the problem? The problem is we don't have enough money. But when you start to attack the person, you really end up with bigger problems. So loving means to be careful what you say and how you say it. We talked about this earlier. Focus on the other person's interest. Use edifying words. Words that build up. So remember, at the end of the conversation, right, we don't want to let any unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, only such a word good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Which means, by the end of the conversation, they should feel like they have been equipped, built up, edified, encouraged, whatever word you want to use there, and that they've been extended grace. Okay. Great way to think through communication. But here's what we typically do. Here's the problem. Nobody's going to deny that there's a problem. Okay, I don't think you have this in your notes. You may want to diagram. I use this all the time, by the way, with couples. Okay, great illustration. Here's the problem, and here's our energy. What ideally we would do is take our energy and solve problems, right? Isn't that ideal? Take our energy and solve problems. What we typically do, though, instead of taking our energy and solve problems, we take our energy and we clam up. What's wrong? Nothing. I know something's wrong. What's wrong? Nothing. Are you okay? I'm fine. But they're not fine. Okay? They're just clamming up. And so eventually they'll say, you want to know what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. And they go from clamming up to blowing up. Right? And then they vomit all this stuff up on you. And then they say, conversation over. And they go from blowing up back to clamming up. Of course, this person says, conversation is not over. And they go to blow up. And so you go from blow up to clam up to blow up to clam up to blow up to clam up. That's the norm. I have given that illustration in so many countries. Everybody says the same thing. How did you know how we fight? It's because that's how everybody fights. Here's the problem. When clamming up isn't happening, and when blowing up isn't happening, we think that everything's okay. But it's not. Why? We've never taken our energy and solved the problem. Okay, does that make sense? And so what we want to do is teach them how to solve problems. Teach them how to have these difficult conversations, these sticky conversations, and work through them systematically together and with grace. So, be honest, keep current, attack the problem, not the person. And the last one, act, don't react. Act, don't react. We got a lot of definitions here that'll be fairly quick, but it's important to understand, you know, we see this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice be removed from you, right? Well, what do those words mean? I mean, they're not good, right? But what do they mean? And so let's put off communication that's a reaction, and let's define some terms. Bitterness first is a smoldering resentment. Bitterness are those red hot coals at the bottom of the fire pit. Those ones that are just daring you. Throw some fuel on me, see what happens. Right? Fan this a little bit, see what happens. It's a smoldering resentment. The next one is wrath. It's flaring outbursts of wild rage. The next one is anger. Anger is this internal smoldering, settled indignation or hostility that frequently seeks revenge. I'm going to get you for this. Clamor, harsh contention and strife, public quarreling and brawling. So clamor and wrath are very similar, aren't they? Clamor, though, is public. You ever see those marriages that they embarrass each other in public? That's gross. And then slander, speech that injures. It's ongoing defamation of another person that rises from a bitter heart. And then malice, the desire to harm others or see them suffer. Those are the things he says to put off. Now, what's our natural tendency? Genesis 3, 8 to 13. Anybody remember that? What's our natural tendency? Blame shift. It's to put the blame on somebody else. So those are the things we want to put off. We want to put off communication that's a reaction, and we want to put on communication that acts correctly. And so there's some definitions here as well. They'll probably be easier than the other ones. Kindness is to be benevolent or helpful. Be benevolent or helpful. Be kind to one another, right? Tender-hearted, compassionate and sympathetic. Forgiving one another is to give up your right to revenge or hold a grudge. You see the two different lists here? I mean, obviously, which one would you rather have people do to you? Well, that's what we do to others as well then. And so the last point here, point C. The importance of replacing sinful actions with godly actions. Somebody asked me one time, give me something to do. I want something to do after this. And so I said, well, we don't typically do that. No, I just want a list. Give me a list of something I can do. And I said, you're not going to like the list I'm going to give you. I said, go to Romans 12 and just listen to what it says. You want a list. This is the list for communication. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then he summarizes it in verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You want a list? There's your list. Conclusion. Communicate like two lovers, not two lawyers. In your packet, I believe, is a conference table. Do you guys see that in there? Is there a conference table paperwork in there? Okay, good. So this is a tool that I'll often use with couples that I'm counseling who are having a really difficult time being able to solve any problems. Yeah, Amy. Conflicts occur when each person reacts. It takes two to argue. It's hard to... Yeah, the home I grew up in is... We were in a home where we yelled and screamed at each other as a normal way to solve problems, which we didn't really solve problems. One was just louder than the other. So when I get married, that's how I came into fighting with Sherry, is that I would yell, And I remember one time she said, "Why are you yelling?" And I had a brilliant response for her. Everybody doesn't argue the same way you argue. That was dumb. But I recognize that's just no fun to argue with somebody who doesn't argue back. So it really takes two reactions to get the argument going. But if you respond in saying, tell me what you mean by that. Oh, I can totally see why you would say that. Why, I'm so sorry. I never thought about how that would have made you feel. It's hard to argue with that. Oh, you might. I mean, you might say something, that's because you're too stupid. I mean, they might get that. I've had people do that. But then you go, wow, I really looked foolish then. You know? So yeah, it really does take two to argue. So on the conference table, I use this literally all the time. Fantastic way to communicate, to get couples communicating. So I'm not going to read the article. I'll just kind of from my mind to go through it. But the idea behind this is you have a table that becomes this table of hope where you solve problems at. And the first thing you do is you know, we probably should go to a conference table on this. And as you work through, you go to this table, whatever that table is, not a normal table you would go to, but it's a formal dining room table or a fold-out table or something like that. And you go there and you sit, and the first thing you do is you read Ephesians 4, 25 to 32. That's the first thing to do. This is how we're going to function in here. And then while you're there, first thing you do after you do that is that you take the log out of your own eye. Okay, this is where I've sinned. This is what I've done. And then you communicate to the other person. It might be in confrontation about something that's going on. But you do it lovingly. You do it so that you're attacking the problem, not the person. And if at any point you feel like I'm being personally attacked here, you just stand up. That's it. You don't argue, you just stand up. And then after you stand up, the person that's sitting down says, okay, I see what you mean. I'm starting to attack you. I'm not attacking the problem. Please forgive me for that. Yes, I will forgive you. And then you sit down and you keep working. This works so well. And listen, I don't want people to be great at doing conference tables. I want people to be driving down the road and she's driving too slow and then the husband yells at her or something like that and he says, honey, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have yelled at you like that. Please forgive me. Right? Or he's doing the same thing. And so not great at doing conference tables, but great at just solving problems quickly and biblically. Great at keeping current, right? So a lot of families, I'll say, I want you to do this every day this week and record what happened. I've found great success with this tool. And I've seen different people do it different ways. This is the way that I was first taught, but you can find it in different applications to it. But I give it to them, and this is your homework. I want you to do conference tables and maybe two this week or three this week or something like that. And it's a good way to teach your kids and everything else. So, and it allows you to talk about difficult things, right? All right. Wow. Pretty good timing. Any questions before we go? We covered a lot of stuff. Not necessarily a lot of new stuff. I know a lot of you guys were familiar with the marriage material. Yeah, so essentially it's this. It's five counseling sessions, and I want you guys to write reports on those. I'm telling you, these reports are so helpful for you. I think, was it Pam, was it you telling me how helpful those paperwork was in your after counseling? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does keep you on track. So you'll want to do those, and then I'm trying to think what else. What else was there? A book as well, a book report on what was the book? How People Change. That's right. Yeah, book report on how people change.
The 7 Key Hills.
The seven key elements? Yes, write a lesson on that. And somebody did it. Was that Wendy? He sent that? That was fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Wendy, don't plagiarize Wendy's. It was really good. Really well done. Yeah, write a lesson on those. And deliver it if you can, if you get an opportunity to share it. So, cool. All right. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this morning. You're so good to us to allow us to come and to gather and to laugh as we learn, to be able to understand some of the deeper truths of your scriptures so that we might disciple, that we can encourage. I pray that we would be those who would hear and then invest into the lives of others who would be able to hear and to and then for them to go and invest in others. And so, Father, I pray for the people we speak with in the days and the weeks ahead. Pray that you would bring those people who need the gifts and the information that you've given us this morning, and that we would be faithful to share with them. I know there's some that are concerned that they don't have people who they're counseling. So you know the needs that are out there, Father. I pray that you would bring those to us and that we would be faithful to follow you. Thank you for this group of friends. Thank you for the opportunity, the privilege we have of coming together this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.